Real Business Owners.
Guys, welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 40. It's myself, Trevor Cowley, and I'm going to say your name as Kel Goodman. No more.
Kilo G, bro.
Okay, and we've got Kilo G on the mic. We have a awesome guest for you guys today. This episode, again, is brought to you guys by Easier Accounting.
Is it 40 or 41, though? It's 41,
Oh, my
man.
God. This is the second. I'm done doing the intros because it's the second time you've had to correct me. You need to start doing all the intros.
You guys got to check your notes before you go.
Dude, I did. It says episode 40 right here on my notes. But the last page of my notes, I swear to God, it said episode 40. My bad.
Mate, so, dude, I honestly don't have the best memory. I just, for some reason, remembered the last episode. We said, hey, this is episode 40. But
sorry.
We don't have to say what episode it is.
Yeah, episode 41.
The most important part is that. Who we got today, not necessarily what episode it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, we do have a special guest for you today. This is an individual that we know quite well. Jefferson Rogers, he owns JKR Windows, right? How many years have you owned that, Jeff?
2 years now.
2 years? I remember when we originally sat down in this exact room when you were thinking about the idea of even starting it. Going from a sales rep to an owner is a big jump, and it's a scary jump. I know that you were a little scared, a little nervous. You know, and I didn't want to touch on that because I guarantee you that there's people that are listening that are probably very good at their craft in terms of their sales ability or whatever it is that they do, but they can't make that leap and that jump. What ultimately was the pushing point for you in order to be able to make that type of leap or jump? And what was the, you know, I mean, because usually you have to get fed up with something or want change bad enough in order to go through that nervousness or discomfort in order to be able to make a change. What was it for you that kind of made that happen a couple of years ago?
Well, shoot, it was, I was already right in the middle of doing everything for this other company. So I already kind of knew I could do all of it. Then there was the fear that I had to overcome of just the unknown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I get the question all the time from these guys that I'm interviewing and working with. It's like, what was it like? Was it, how did you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't freaking know.
Yeah.
It was just like.
You just did it.
Just had to do it.
Yeah. So you just had to push past the barrier and figure it out as you go, right? And to be straight up with everybody, just so you guys know, also the people that you surround yourself with is important. You actually were smart enough to come to people like us that have been in business and ask questions. Like, tell me about this. You're very. You ask a lot of questions, right? Like you want to be in the know. And I think that that's very important to lean on some of the people that you may know or have access to be able to ask those questions. Mm-hmm. And they can kind of help guide you through the process. And they're like, dude, you can do it. You know,
we've been there.
Exactly. We've gone through the fear process of starting our own company and having to go through that as well. And so I think it's important to have, you know, the surrounding environment that you're in be a positive environment of individuals that maybe have already been there and done that.
Absolutely.
Where you can lean on them and you can ask those questions, you know.
Well, Kel was one of the first people I called.
Yeah, because I remember, man, we started commenting on each other's videos and stuff on social media, and I was like, dude, Jeff's really putting himself out there, right?
I didn't even
know what you did for a living, because we went to high school together, and, you know, like, dude, I'd go years without seeing you. You know what I mean? But then all of a sudden, I'm like, dude, he's like putting videos out. Like, he was following 10X. He was, you know what I mean?
I could see him
leveling up. Yep. And I was like, wow. And then it was cool when you reached out, man. And you're like, dude, I want to come in and talk to you guys.
Yeah.
And I was like, absolutely, man. Because there's something magical about it, dude. When you finally hit that point where you're like, dude, I'm worth more. I'm capable of more.
Yep.
Like, it's because of the content you're consuming. And then you start gaining this confidence without it. Dude, a lot of it's subconscious for a long time.
Yep.
And then you're like, and then you start seeing results. And you're like, dude, I'm worth more than just what's going on here right now. You know? And so.
And a lot of it is just awareness, hanging out with people that think higher.
Yep.
Totally,
bigger.
Yep. Totally.
And it's like, you know, the people you hang out with is at the level that you can think. And that's what I was the sum of, is the people I was hanging out with.
Right.
So stretched your vision a little bit.
The 10X thing, you know, getting in touch with you guys.
Yeah.
And kind of just having some realizations that I'm already doing it all anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be scary as shit anyways.
It's just because it's a little unfamiliar, but everything that you're doing anyways, it's just going to be for your own company.
Yeah.
So it's really not that unfamiliar. It's just, you know, going out on your own. There's a lot of these weird what-if questions that you ask yourself that really don't even come into play once you really just do it.
Yeah, shit, because a lot of it was just anxiety.
Exactly. Once you set up the entity and you said, it's go time, and you actually just got into a rhythm, it was probably just like riding a bike. You were just doing everything that you were doing anyways, but now you're just doing it for you.
Yeah, I remember we had also talked about whether I should borrow some money or like, I could borrow you some money.
Yeah.
But what was our response on work? You just said go out and work, man. You know how to go sell.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did. We went out. I had my best 2 months ever for that company that I was working with for 3 years. The last 2 months I worked for them. February and March. And then I took that momentum right into
owning your own business.
To April. And I had my best production month ever for the first month that I owned my own company with the help of your little brother.
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude.
It is crazy, man.
That is crazy. Because, and again, not a lot of businesses have that ability to just boom, come out the gate, you know, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and be able to generate that type of revenue. But you were very good at what you were doing. Mm-hmm. So again, just doing it for yourself underneath your own entity was just an easy, smooth transition. It's again, just it's just the mental block. That's usually what stops people, is just the mental block.
That's a big thing.
Let me ask you this, you know, because we're big in terms of consuming content, and we believe in protecting what you consume, right? Because whatever goes in your mind can ultimately turn into your reality. How long, you know, being just a sales rep working for somebody else, were you consuming positive content, whether it is, you know, Cardone stuff or whatever it was that you were buying into at that point? How many years were you investing into information and content, so to speak?
So I'd always been doing a little bit of it.
Okay.
You know, I like reading books, and I took a break for a long time because I'd gotten a lot into, I'd made a little bit of money, more money than I'd ever made, and started getting more and more into the nightlife and partying and doing stupid stuff.
Making the first time money mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I watch my guys do it right now, and I'm trying to, you know, I didn't have any mentors like that, so I'm trying to guide these guys.
Yep.
But then, you know, I was kind of at an all-time low. I was trying to quit drinking and smoking pot for so many years.
Yeah.
Getting involved with 10X was kind of the catalyst for that. Mm-hmm. And just stepping my game up, taking the action levels way higher.
So your free time ended up looking and being different versus smoking, drinking, partying, this. And then when you made the full commitment to make a change, your free time was consuming content that was actually healthy for you.
Yep. Yeah, the 10X stuff. I took my last $1,100 and I called my wife after I'd just gotten another assault charge for getting in a fight when I was drunk, and I was finally making a commitment and telling people instead of just telling myself.
Yeah.
I'd never come out and told anybody.
Yeah.
Because that was like actually admitting I had a problem. I needed to do something about it. So I told my wife, you gotta trust me, I'm taking the last $1,100 out of our account and I'm investing it in this mentor program with Grant Cardone.
Yeah.
And that was in November, and I quit drinking and smoking pot January 8th, 2018. It's been a little over 2 years now.
That paid the $1,100 back.
Man. It paid it off quick.
Yeah.
So getting involved in that mentor program.
Yeah.
And then I got really sick after I quit drinking because I'd been drinking and smoking pot every day for 3 years, and it was like having a detox. I was sick as six freaking days in bed.
Dude, I've heard detoxing from alcohol, which I enjoy to drink here and there, but I've never been like a daily drinker. Yeah. I've heard detoxing from drinking is actually really tough, dude. It's like
I had no idea what it was. I just thought I had a flu or something.
Yeah.
And then I look back a year later, it's like it was like a week after I quit drinking. Yeah.
Your body was like, what's going on?
Shutting down.
Yeah.
I was so used to it. But that 6 days laying in bed is when I finally got the guts to start JKR Windows. It's like as soon as you get done here, no more of this laying in bed, being sick, feeling sorry for yourself, and not being able to provide for your family. Let's go do this.
Isn't it? So for people listening right now, dude, if you are someone that's suffering like with alcohol or you know whatever, but you know you want better, dude, it's like going through the flu, man. You know, like.
Dude, it's absolutely
pull your
true.
Big boy pants up and get through it, man, for the better, if you really want better. You know what I mean?
And it's just a short time frame. Mm-hmm. I mean, in reality, when you're going through it, it doesn't feel short, right? Like every hour feels like a day when you have the flu or whatever it is, right? When I was a flat-out junkie, a straight-up heroin junkie, for 3 or 4 years, I had to go through that process as well in terms of a withdrawal process or a detox process.
Oh, it's scary too.
And yeah, throwing up.
Especially if you know what's coming.
And it's just, I was shaking and, I was up in the mountains, just in a trailer up in the mountains because I had to remove myself from everything. Cell phone service, all of that. Mm-hmm. Just get rid of distractions. I had to go up and go away from me, right? But in reality, yeah, you're hurting and people, when they have a headache, they take a Tylenol or ibuprofen because they just want to get rid of it. But that headache's not going to kill you, right? Mm-hmm. That, like, me going through the withdrawals didn't kill me or anything. The reality is it's just a short window. It's literally, like you said, 6 days out of your entire life that could ultimately change your life. And your life is now probably 10 times better than what it was couple of years ago when you were laying in that bed feeling sorry for yourself. And the real moral of the story is there's so much awesome shit that can happen when you're at the lowest point of your life.
Totally.
Right?
And it can happen in a really short period of time if you make the decision.
It really commit, not try. A lot of people can try shit. When you commit to shit, magical shit happens.
Absolutely.
That's the truth, okay? And so if you're at a point, he just talked about having his last $1,100.
Yeah.
When we had Jeff on,
he went all in. Dude.
He went all in. He full out committed to making a change. And that's ultimately what's missing, right? People try to dabble. They try to get on social media and try to make something work, or they try to get in business for themselves and make it work. And then they abandon it quick. Right, they don't have the level of patience to get through whether it's 6 days of pain or 6 months of brutal startup phase of your business, whatever it is. But there's a lot of cool shit that comes from the bottom. Mm-hmm. Right, now that you're at the bottom, you can create a whole new foundation. That's a way that you should be looking at it. Rewire, reframe your thoughts. If you're at the bottom, now it's time to build something new, something great.
Yep.
And that's exactly what you did. You full out committed, you empowered yourself, you stopped feeling sorry for yourself, and you started taking action. And where you're at today is amazing compared to where you were at 2 years ago when we met in this conference room, when you were having the ideas and the thoughts of doing your own thing. Your life probably looks completely different as well versus what it did 2 years ago. Am I wrong?
No, not at all. You start those little habits every day and just start building on them, and it trickles into every other area of your life.
It does. And and one thing that he started doing that he kind of dabbled with was putting new information into his mind.
That's what I was going to say, because it doesn't matter. Like, for him, he was like, dude, you're in sales. You know what I mean? You're out knocking doors. You're grinding. You're getting by, but you wanted more. For you, it was like you started consuming this, Grant Cardone, for example. And I'm sure there's others too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
But a lot of people, they have this thing of like, after they kind of get through it and they start leveling up, they're like, man, Grant Cardone stuff changed my life. Gary Vee stuff changed my life.
Yeah.
It's like, no, dude, you changed your life.
Yeah.
You just got to a point you couldn't tolerate anymore or you realized you needed better. And you use those as an external source to feed your mind. But you did the work, right? Mm-hmm. You did the work, man. Like, and so it's really a lot of people overcomplicate it. They look externally and they're like, man, if I could just operate like that guy, or, I could, push like that guy, or, they think that you're lucky or whatever. It's like, no, dude, like every single one of us found something that we needed, which was us at a low point, to make the decision to start consuming better content, start believing in ourselves, to then start doing the work to pull yourself out of it. But I hate when people are like,
giving too much credit.
Yeah, that program changed my life. No, dude, you changed your life.
Yeah, that was maybe just a minor spark, but you lit the fucking fire, right? Like, you are the flame. But you need
it. It's definitely a tool,
absolutely.
Dude. You know what I mean? It's like,
absolutely.
It's all out there. It's just, it's a matter of taking quit overcomplicating it, make a decision. Like, he made a decision one day, like, I'm going to see what this Grant Cardone guy is all about.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't, right? Like, they're like, dude, that guy's just some hypey bullshit, whatever. I ain't going to buy into that. He's just trying to sell me something, whatever. Yeah. No, dude, it's up to you to make a decision on what to do with it. Because I did that stuff too with a lot of stuff, because we sold coaching programs a long time ago.
Yep.
So we know that there is bullshit coaching programs out there.
Yep.
So it's hard sometimes to like really buy into something. But when you do, man, and then you do the work, you changed your life.
It really hits a point where you just finally get fed up. Like I was talking about, like, what's that point where you got fed up? Something had to happen where you look at your situation and say, this is not okay.
Yeah.
and you will not make a change. Nothing will happen that's different until you look at your situation and flat out say, this is not okay.
Right.
And then at that point, you will then want to make a change. And then at that point, maybe start introducing new shit into your life. Mm-hmm. In other words, new information. Whether it is buying a program and going through a course and trying to reframe.
Seeing it through.
Yeah, seeing it through. But
I started slow on that sucker.
Yeah.
You did?
I had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
But it was like so unfamiliar.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Starting to do that stuff. Where
I almost felt like homework.
I'd read a couple of books before. Yeah. Now it's like, oh. I got that call. I got to get on today. I got this homework. I got to post another video. Mm-hmm. And it was difficult starting.
Yeah, you talked yourself out of shit.
Was that part of the reason why you started posting more on social media? Was as when you were after you went through that program, or as you were going through the program, they were kind of challenging you to put yourself out there a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, if you're not making yourself known,
If you don't have the attention, right?
You got to get attention from people
and
make your intentions known also. So that was kind of a challenge that I had made for myself. It was the same concept with quitting drinking and smoking. It's like I had been telling myself I was going to quit myself, that I was going to quit for years.
Yeah.
But until I actually come out and said something to somebody, then I have integrity. And I was going to hold up my end of the deal. And I knew that's probably why I never fucking said it out loud.
Yeah.
Because I knew that
you were lying to yourself.
I wasn't quite ready yet.
Just to ultimately keep doing it. Like, well, I've got good intentions to quit, but...
Next Monday.
Yeah, exactly. Next Monday, you know what I mean? It's almost like people working out, right? Yeah. Like, I'm going to start on Monday. But they say that to themselves.
I'm going to wean off. I'm just like...
Weird excuses,
and it's
the
same thing with goals, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's some of those videos I was making is like... My goals this week, the stuff that I'm doing, I've got big goals. I'm going to accomplish big things this year, and I was telling everybody about it. And I had – what's funny is you also start getting the naysayers like,
of course,
bro, you got to slow down.
Yeah.
You only live once. Yeah. I was like, fuck, I've only been doing this for a week. What do you mean I need to slow down?
Yeah, you do only live once, and I don't want to live once making fucking 40 grand a year for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You do only live once. You might as well live it to the fullest.
Absolutely.
You know, that should be the rebuttal to something stupid like that. Yeah. You only live... Yeah, of course you only live once.
Yeah.
And don't you want to see what life is really about? Because there's really not that great of a life below a certain threshold. Let's be honest. You wake up and you do the same shit over and over, and then you struggle month after month after month, and your worries are the same month after month after... Bills, money.
Those people that say that stuff just don't understand the sacrifice period. Right?
Yeah. They don't want to really make the sacrifice period.
Is the life that they want later, right? Like, well, you're a workaholic. You have a family at home and this thing. You don't know. I'm doing this for my family. Yeah. When we're swimming at the Four Seasons or flying on our plane to our vacation and I can shut my phone off because I have people running my business in 5-10 years from now, I get that quality time.
Yeah.
You'll never have that real quality time. Like, you know, and I guess I shouldn't be so harsh about it because then there's people that have great lives that work, you know, whatever, 9-to-5s and they go home and they have great time with their family, but like, are they really like
experiencing life
the fullest, right? Like, are you really having the family time you really want, dude? You know what I mean?
Having family time is cool and it's very important, but I grew up very, very poor and didn't ever take vacations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't get to see the world or get to see anything or have those experiences with my family at all, right? And so to be able to have experiences like that now with my kids, you know, to be able to, when my daughter, when it was just me, my wife, and my daughter, she had already gone to Mexico, she's been to San Francisco, she had been to New York, she has had all of these experiences that I didn't get to have as a kid.
Totally. Yep.
So you tell me how that's not living life to the fullest where you only have one life. Yeah, we take that
shit. We still do sacrifice, but we also get to do a lot of things with our family that we would have never been able to do because of our sacrifice period. You know what I mean? Because of that time where we were a workaholic. And we still work our asses off, but now we can put people in our places so that we can go do those things and have that quality time. And so what did you do with those naysayers, Jeff? I mean, did you have to cut people out of your life or just limit them? Or what did you end up doing?
Yeah. So there's, you know, I don't have a problem really telling people how I feel. So it was, you know, I'm doing what I'm doing. I'd appreciate it if you keep your negativity to yourself, because that was also something that was going on with the 10X stuff, is you got to cut out all the negativity. You don't have room for any negativity.
Mm.
And so, you know, mom and dad, a couple of friends, it's like, I understand where you're coming from and I respect your opinion, but I got what I got going on and I'm not slowing down for anybody. Yeah.
Well,
and you got to keep that negativity to yourself.
I don't want
to
hear it. They've got different goals and different, you know, everybody's different, I guess, you know, like, again, somebody might say, well, you only got one life, slow down, whatever, whatever. Like, cool, based upon where you're trying to go and where I'm trying to, you know, it might look completely different. That's like you going to them and saying, what the hell are you doing? What the hell, wait, go knock on their door at 5 a.m. and say, wake up, let's go get a workout, if that's what you do.
Yeah.
It's not like you're telling them, you know, you can explain your experience. Hey, this is what I'm experiencing, and I'm seeing these benefits from it. You should do it too. But it's not like you're going to talk negatively on them if they don't do it, yeah, right?
It's a lot of times just people expressing their fears.
And it usually is the people that are kind of closest in your life, like moms, dads, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, whatever it is. And so, you know, I mean, that is a good lesson, man. Like, you don't have to cut people out of your life, but you also don't have to allow them to put limitations on you. And you can tell them, listen, man, I'm doing my thing. I would appreciate you not talking to me about your negativity or what your thoughts are. Then you go out and prove their ass wrong. You don't hear it. Like, I don't hear that shit anymore. Mm-hmm. I really don't hear it.
If anything.
I don't have moms and dads and uncles. If anything, I got uncles and aunts and all them to hit me up. Like, hey, can you give me a job?
Or advice.
You know, like, yeah.
Exactly.
It's true.
Yeah, things have changed in a pretty short period of time.
I was just going to say, 2 years later, I bet it's completely different. They're not now saying, when you're in Mexico with your wife and enjoying a vacation and this, that, and everybody else is still having to go to work, living their one life, right? Yep. It's a little bit different, you know, when they actually see you succeeding.
So, and it's also the level of passion that you have for something that you enjoy. Like, you guys come to work and you grind.
Yeah.
Not because you have to, because you love it. And that's how I feel about my business.
Yeah.
Is every morning I wake up, alarm goes off, and I'm hopping out of bed, and my wife's like, fuck, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's go.
Yeah.
Get your book out. Let's write our goals down.
Get your book.
It's a fucking good day.
Hell yeah.
I love that.
So much, just so much gratitude, right? Like, man, it's another day to go out and own it.
It's amazing. And again, and I believe it starts and ends with the information that you're feeding yourself.
Yeah.
And you took the risk, you bought, and again, some people will say into somebody else's program. I believe that you bought into you. You were investing into yourself because you wanted a change. That was just a little bit of the vehicle, but.
Just expose myself to the higher level of thinking.
Yeah.
Totally.
Is a huge thing.
And so,
I mean, you guys were the next closest thing that I had to the higher level of thinking. So I wanted to get in front of you guys. And that was a scary fucking call to make.
Really?
Really?
Like, Kale, bro.
Yeah,
I want to come in and talk to you guys.
Maybe that's why people just don't ask for help as much as they should. They don't get, again, past the barrier of fear, right? But the funny thing is, if somebody reached out to you right now that was potentially wanting to start their own business or do their own thing and they wanted a little piece of advice from you, like, it's funny, once you get to a certain level, you kind of want to turn around and put a hand out to the people that are wanting better for themselves, and you see that in them, and you're like, dude, just do it, you know, and you'll take time out of your day and help other people. So, guys, if there's somebody that's close to you or near you or somebody that's successful, most successful people are willing to help.
Yeah, I didn't even think of it like that, right? And so I think a lot of people do. And I tell people all the time, man, like, dude, it's so important to just put yourself out there. If you're afraid to post a video of yourself online because you think it's shitty, like, that's probably a sign that you need to just do it.
You gotta do
it. You know what I mean? Like, dude, that's how I started seeing you again online. Because, man, even though I went to high school, like, I hadn't seen you for a long time. But when you reached out, I was like, oh, hell yeah, dude, because I had noticed – Jeff had been putting himself out there. He's on this path of you know, leveling up. And so when he reached out to me, I was like, hell yeah, dude, come in. Like, you know, I didn't think anything of it.
Yeah.
Like, I already knew who you were. I already knew you were, you know, like
on
like a path of wanting to do your own thing and stuff. So I thought it was cool as shit, dude. And so if it is a little bit scary, like, people just need to do it, man. Like, what's the worst thing you can have is I'm just going to say no.
Pretty good indicator if you are getting that fear.
I didn't even know who you were.
Something you probably should do.
Yeah.
I didn't know who you were until you started posting those videos.
Yeah.
But then, because Kel would like it or comment on it, and we weren't friends on Facebook or anything yet, I don't think at that time, because I didn't know you.
Yeah.
Right? He went to school with you, and I'm, you know, how on Facebook, somebody you know comments or likes, and it shows up on my feed. Kel commented on Jefferson's post.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started watching some of your videos or whatever as you're walking through the neighborhoods. It's snowing. I'm knocking doors,
people,
you know, or whatever.
That shit, dude.
Like,
you know,
and dude, I did.
At any level.
I did.
Yeah,
I was looking at it. I'm like, dude, that's cool as shit.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about this. The first video that you ever made, was that awkward and scary as shit and you just didn't even want to post it? Or did you have to record it 10 times before you posted it? You know, because usually that's the normal thing. Like, people want the perfect, like, when you're going to first put yourself out there, it's so scary that you maybe do it like a bunch of times to try to get the perfect one.
Yeah.
But
so when I started out, It was scary, but, you know, luckily I'm pretty good in front of the camera, and I was just – I had made that commitment after hearing so many people talk about that and, you know, not ever getting the guts to actually post it and having to do it 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
I wanted to be genuine. I would do one take and just hit the fucking go button.
Just just do it as fast as you can and just hit send.
Don't even think about it.
And let it fly.
Yeah.
Because if you stop and you watch it too many times or this, and you know, you could talk yourself out of probably posting it.
Yeah. That's smart. And I started doing that every time. As soon as I was done, good enough.
Send it.
Send.
Yeah.
And I started getting great responses. So immediately getting some confidence too helped a lot.
Yeah.
And then just keep pumping them out. And then I started doing live videos.
Yeah.
It's like you can't fake this.
Yeah.
It's freaking live.
Yeah. And dude, people need it, man. You know what I mean? Like, I always put these videos out because I feel like I need to, you know? And it's for me, you know what I mean? Like, I'm doing it for me because I'm like, I need to put a video out, whatever. It wasn't the greatest, whatever. I'm going to post it anyway. And then people are like, dude, I needed to hear that today.
Yeah.
Even if it's one person out of 300 that watched the video, like, dude, it just feels like, okay, cool, I did something.
Well, it makes an impact whether you realize it or not because, you know, I watch your guys' stuff. And I was having people watch my stuff that I had no idea were watching. I was doing that for me to get out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. I made the phone call to you guys for me because it was scary and I wanted to do it anyways. And that was a process of being comfortable, being uncomfortable, and taking it to the next level. Because where I was at, comfortable and going home early so I could go start drinking, was a habit that I wanted to get as far away from as I possibly could.
Yeah.
And continually putting myself in uncomfortable situations.
I was just going to say that. The common denominator here is uncomfortable situations. Mm-hmm. One, taking the $1,100 that you had, that was probably uncomfortable, scary thing to do, but you did it anyways.
Yep.
Then as you're going through a course, they're saying, put yourself out there. Well, shit, that's uncomfortable. You start recording yourself, you put yourself out there. Then you, after putting yourself out there for a period of time, then again, you reached out to somebody that, that was a little uncomfortable for you. Going into business for yourself, that was a little uncomfortable. The series here is just starting to do one thing, just one thing that's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And then when you overcome that and realize it wasn't that bad or it's not that scary, you start not trusting fear. Yep. And realizing that this uncomfort shit is more of a sign of things that you should be doing rather than a sign of things that you shouldn't be doing. Because every single time that you saw what was on the other side of that discomfort,
you're leveling up.
You hit a new level.
Dude, I even want to add to that, bro, because people need to pay attention to that, right? Because they do it for other people more than they'll do it for their damn selves. Like when you knocked on that first door, As a sales rep, that was probably pretty uncomfortable. Absolutely. But you were like, dude, these guys are paying me. I'm on their time as an employee to go knock on that first door. First phone call we made as a telemarketer.
Yeah.
We did it. We pushed through because we're on their time. We got hired. It's our job.
We've got to do it.
So it's like, man, you got to start paying attention. Like, you've already done this. You've already done uncomfortable things. Mm-hmm. Your very first job. You know, your very first phone call that you made. First girl you asked out on a date. Well, that was for yourself. That's not for somebody else.
Yeah.
But people do it easier for other people when they're hired at their new job or whatever, right? And so, you know, like, start paying attention to that. Like, that is one of the big secret sauces, is like getting, you know, pushing through that discomfort and being willing to push through it anyway. But be willing to do it for yourself, man. That's when you're going to start leveling up, right? Yeah. Like, finally started knocking on doors for yourself, you know, by...
Yep.
Making phone calls to guys like, you know, me that you wanted to reconnect with.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, just start paying attention to that. You've already done so many things that were uncomfortable for other people. Start shifting that mindset to do it for yourself.
Dude, I honestly love the episode already.
Yeah, it's good.
I really do love this episode already, because we're hitting so many just different little points that I think that is the common denominator of talking about feeding your mind full of good information, surrounding yourself with good people, overcoming uncomfortable scenarios. These are all the common denominators that every single entrepreneur has to go through, period.
Yeah, yep.
There's no shortcut. There's no way around it. You've got to just go through it. And you went through, you hit every single one of those, and you got on the other side of every single one of those. And now today, you're in our conference room with one of our accountants going over all the money that you make. You know what I mean? As a self-employed individual, right? Which is just amazing from where you were 2 years ago. And to be quite frank with you, even your demeanor is different, dude. The way that you carry yourself is different. Your energy is different. Dude, you just... It's just different, bro. Yeah. And you're a completely different human being and a better version of yourself now than what you were 2 years ago. And it's going to be scary where you're going to be in 2 years. Absolutely. And then in 2 years from there. Because you're not the type of person, I don't believe, that will take his foot off the gas. You're so used to overcoming these little barriers that as long as you continue to do that, dude, your future's just limitless, right?
Yeah, it's a new focus. So yeah. When you have an addictive personality, you know, I hear people talk all the time about drinking casually and going to a vineyard and doing a wine tasting and stuff. I've never known how to do that. For me, ever since I was 13 years old.
It's all or nothing.
It was all or nothing. I remember I was at Kevin Hafen's house one night, and I bought an entire 30-pack to myself, and nobody even touched it. It was mine.
Yeah. Went all
that
in.
That was it. When I mean, it Jefferson started from really
in,
young.
He goes all in, whether it's positive or negative.
And so I just had to refocus it. Because I've got that same energy that I need to use, but now I just use it every day for grinding, building my business, being a better leader and a father and a husband, and building my body up and being healthy. And I've got a race tomorrow. I'm doing a 80-mile desert race on my dirt bike.
Oh, okay. Right on,
dude. I think
fun.
I saw you. Yeah, you posted something like that on your Instagram or whatever. You're like, I just wanted to place top three. And you're like, you know what? I want to win.
I'm going for the win.
I'm going to go for the win, you know. Just
I've been training my ass off.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't put all that work in to get
last place. Well, that's a nice thing, too. Like, you know? You started developing that self-awareness of that self-talk. Like, I'll settle for
How
third. And you're like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Fuck that, dude. Yeah. I'm going to go for the gold, you know.
Yep.
And so that's
awesome.
That's another, you know, reward of actually starting to put work into yourself as you create that self-awareness where you call yourself out on that shit real quick. Wait a minute, man. I didn't put all this work to take third. Why was I thinking that? And then you can make that correction.
And then your confidence builds every single time you overcome something and see something positive happen, right? And so now he's going into a race expecting to win.
Yeah.
Every time you do something, once you get to a certain level, you expect to win.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of it. You don't do something to kind of play halfway, right? Let's talk about your business, though.
Yeah, I was just gonna literally say I wanted to talk about it, because
let's talk about your business.
Yeah, I like a couple things about his business.
So tell us, you know, about your business. What is your business? You know, what your goals are for your business and all that. And you know, right now you only service Utah, correct?
Yep.
Southern Utah, Northern Utah, or is it all Utah, or are you very specific?
So, yeah, we pretty much will go anywhere in Utah.
Okay.
We're licensed in Utah, so in Utah, it's kind of special. You can go anywhere and do business.
Okay.
Right.
And I have my licensing in Clark County, too, and we've done about $120,000 in revenue down there.
Okay.
Just kind of playing with it and just seeing what it would be like.
Dabbling, seeing if there's something there.
So, yeah, it's going to be some playing around down there still to figure it out. It's a lot different market than Utah.
Really?
It's weird, huh? It's weird how it's just different cultures, different,
it
you
is.
Know? You almost have to create a whole new technique.
A new angle, right?
A little new angle.
Yeah.
So we're mainly focused on Utah. We did $1.2 million in that first 8 months in 2018. And then we did $2.2 million last year, so almost doubled it.
Heck yeah.
But we've already done over $1 million in just January and February this year.
Mm-hmm. And I want people to know, man, your business model is – you don't need to know all the fanciest, up-to-date marketing and all that crap, dude. Like, you guys literally get out and you knock on people's doors. And you guys get sell right a badass product. It's like too many things just go away from, like, the human element, right? Like, everyone's trying to figure out how to make the most money for the less work by programming these click buttons and these click funnels, and which is great. It obviously works to create leads and stuff. But if you think you're going to build a successful business without some
completely
sort of
hands-off
human element, like, you know, actually getting somebody on the phone or knocking on their door, like, you know what I mean? Obviously, you can't build businesses that way. But it's like, man, you can still make so much money and serve people great and sell a badass product by just getting out and still connecting with people, you know, live, you know?
Yeah, I love it. And it's also developing leadership along the way, because it takes, first of all, a special person to be able to go out and knock doors and get uncomfortable coming from, you know, being a plumber or being a mechanic like I was.
Is that what you did prior
so
to
I was
getting into sales?
I was working as a mechanic. And the day that I went full-time, I had wrecked my boss's truck, and I got in a rear-end accident, and I got my ass chewed. and I gave him a piece of my mind, and I left, and I went straight from there, put my clothes on, and went out and went full-time hitting doors. Mm. And now, you know, 5 years later, I'm training guys and sharing my dream of my company. We want to do 10 million this year. Mm-hmm. We want to do 40 million within the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. You can be a part of this, and I can show you how to make a lot of money and be able to learn a skill and develop leadership that you can take into every other area of your life for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's probably the funnest thing that I'm doing right now is training and developing these people that are coming from a modest background and making 30 grand a year as a plumber. And in his second full month, he made over 10 grand with me.
Yeah. Mm.
Dude, I love that stuff too,
man. That's a pretty rewarding part of it. And when you go do the click stuff and you're on the internet and you're spending hours in your basement, I wouldn't be sitting here in front of you guys talking with confidence if I had built that kind of business. Because all I do all day long, every day, is
communicate,
talk windows and communicate and teach and train and try and develop these guys.
Yeah.
And that's kind of something that's been coming up a lot lately is, you know, the guys that are out here doing this kind of stuff are the guys that are grinding. They put tens of thousands of hours into their craft that they're passionate about, whether it's you guys or Ed Mylett or Grant Cardone. These guys are experts in a pretty specific field, and they've been doing it for so long.
Yep.
They talk about it like it's life.
Yep. It's ingrained into them. I believe sales itself and self-development or entrepreneurship and self-development should go hand in hand.
Yeah.
You know, if they're since you know, entrepreneurship doesn't come with like a instruction manual, right, on how to do this thing, the best way to put yourself in a situation to be highly successful as an entrepreneur is through self-improvement and self-development, period. Mm-hmm. So you're creating, you used external content to try to build yourself as a leader, right? Consuming new information. Now you're taking what ultimately puts you from a sales rep to an entrepreneur. You're creating, leaders create leaders, right? And so what you're doing is you're ultimately instilling self-development through some of these conversations. Like you're like, hey, nobody did that for me. And it was the same conversation that I have with some employees that we have. And I'm like, man, nobody ever sat down and talked to me about, hey, man, the first time you come into money, there's going to be a lot of temptations. There's going to be partying. There's going to be drugs. There's going to be this. There's going to be that. You know, and I wanted to be different. And I wanted to be able to talk to people and say, hey, here's what you're going to go through. Here's some of the things that you're going to experience as you start making good money, right? And here's some of the pitfalls that took me out for a period of time that I want you to try to avoid, right? And so I think it's amazing, one, that you're developing other people, but when you actually start teaching other people some of the shit that you know, it ingrains in you even more. Absolutely. So now you and this sales rep are both winning based upon that conversation. There's something special. I mean, we've got sales rep making really good money, and we love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's like, the best part of it is when you see a guy come
just
in.
Just develop and just crush it. Like you're saying, I got this guy, he came in plumber, whatever, and now he's making 10 grand a month, and he's probably going to then make 15, 20, and he's going to basically alter his entire life based upon being underneath your umbrella. Which is pretty rewarding. Yes. I think a lot of people miss that piece because they go into business first. I want to make money, you know. And then as you start making money, like you're making good money, right? Then you start really focus. You're like, I'm okay. I want to develop these people, and you know that if you focus on them and they're winning, by default, you ultimately win.
Yeah.
Right. And that's real. The real secret is you guys should be in your business focusing on your employees and developing them, because if they're better, your business is better. So by default, now you're winning. So it feels good to give and watch people grow. And it feels good to make more money and do the right thing. It's just this big old little ecosystem that keeps feeding itself.
Yeah.
Right? It's just the right thing to do to teach people how to stay away from some of the same pitfalls that took you out for a minute, right?
Yep. Yeah, it makes a big difference having somebody to talk to or somebody that's willing to talk. I had some mentors and people that I learned from, and I'm super grateful for them. But, you know, with the knowledge that I've gained by actually doing, you know, some of the conferences and the books and the podcasts. I love watching you guys.
Stuff. Yeah, man.
You know, it's the stuff that kind of ingrains it in you every day to be able to share this type of stuff with confidence. Like, it's not just something I heard yesterday. It's just stuff that I live by and I practice and I try and absorb every step of the way.
It's repetitive. Mm-hmm. Put the good information in over and over and over and over till the point where it's just ingrained in you. And even then, you're at that point when you're teaching it, it's still repetitive because you're still hearing it being said on a day-to-day basis, you know? And so it's huge. So again, we went off of JKR Windows. Okay. So tell us about your business. Tell us exactly what your business does. You guys obviously, you know, hire a bunch of people, sales reps to go out in Utah. They knock doors and they go to neighborhoods and help them. Is it for the look of their house? Is it for the efficiency? I mean, tell us a little bit about all that.
So yeah, it's kind of a combination of it all.
Okay.
The kind of what drives the business is the construction industry and building all these thousands of houses that they're building in St. George is a really good example.
Yeah.
Because if you go and talk to any general contractor, what they do is they go and price the windows every month a lot of times because they're looking for the very lowest price they can get on these window packages for the houses.
They're trying to get their margins.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they make a little bit extra money. And if you're looking at a custom home builder, he may be looking at something a little bit more energy efficient, lifetime guarantees and stuff like that. So it's created this business where for the past 30, 40, 50 years, that's all that's ever happened is when they're building these new houses, doesn't matter how expensive they are, they're using the cheapest fucking windows they can find.
Yeah.
And so it's going to keep us in business forever. And, you know, we're focusing on 15 years and older. But we go into these neighborhoods, we go and knock on their door, and we explain the value in a high-quality, energy-efficient replacement window that's going to make your home a ton more comfortable. It's going to save you 30 to 45% on your energy bills. And, you know, compared to, like, solar and some things that, to me, if you do the numbers on it, it never fucking makes sense. The windows make sense. It starts paying you back right away.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're adding a lot of value, and I've got something that I can bring guys in and actually be proud of, explain it to them, be very transparent with it. Yeah. Like, this is how it works. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, I mean.
Dude, it makes a big difference. Like,
I was just going to say that even the look of the home.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
Even the look of the home is completely different because I've seen, you know, when you post like, hey, this house or whatever, when you're out in front of the house and showing the house. It can literally change the look of your home.
Yep.
It's almost like a vehicle with rims. You know, the certain trucks without a lift or tires on it, they look like shit, you know? And then you put a lift and tires on it, it has a whole new look and feel to it, and it looks cool now.
Absolutely.
Well, people don't realize, too, like 30, 40% efficiency, like they don't think it's that big of a deal because their power bill might only be $100-$200 a month or whatever, and it's only going to go down so much, but like, dude, that's a big deal.
It is.
Over time. You know what I mean? And you gotta understand that. And so, I mean, even when we moved in here, man, we put some solar tinting on our windows because we're literally, the sun is hitting our windows all day long.
Yep.
And just by reflecting that sun off of our windows a little bit, not only did it make it less hot in front of those windows because we got to keep our employees cool. We want to bake them to death all day long. But it also, you know, it doesn't make our AC unit work as hard. So it saves us on our AC unit. And then our power bill goes down.
That's a lot of stuff that we talk about with customers. Exactly. And they've got areas of their home. You know, we're trying to hit on those pressure points. Mm-hmm. Like, I know you got a room in your house that during the summer you guys don't even want to go into.
Exactly.
Because your windows are terrible and it's allowing
everybody
all that heat
rooms.
In.
Yeah.
Our windows will completely change that. It's going to balance out the entire house. It's going to save hours and hours of runtime on your AC unit, so you're going to save money there. Eventually, you're going to have to replace that sucker if all it does is run all day long.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of value in it. And then, you know, because there's a lot of people that are interested, once you're educating them about it, that's how we're having so much success. Because it's, you know, nobody knows about this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I teach my guys how to go out there and explain it with detail, and we get a lot of interest, and we do a same-day sale. In most of the cases.
But then you give them options, though, as well, like finance options, payment options, and things like that, right?
So, yeah,
not everybody has thousands of dollars just to replace their windows out of all their house.
Yeah.
So you give them, you have to pull credit and do all that stuff, just make sure that they qualify.
So, yeah, we've got it all. I mean, it's so simple. You can get the entire deal done in an hour and a half, and
really?
They just outfitted their entire house with you know, 15, 16, 17 windows and a couple sliding glass doors, and within 6 weeks it's done.
Okay.
And it completely changes. And then also the back end too is super important. I know you guys are proud of your fulfillment.
Yes.
And that's something that we love too, is going every step of the way and going after those 5-star reviews and going after the happy customers, because we also get a lot of referrals from
totally.
It.
Yeah.
We've got over, you know, in 2 years we got over 150 5-star reviews.
It's badass, well, man.
And most companies have really been around for 5-10 years and don't have that many.
Mm-hmm. Dude, you can go look at companies and they have like 6, and it's probably half their family.
Yeah.
Half of them are their family and
friends. Well, it's because they don't really care at the end of the day, man. They just want to get customers in and out and make their money, you know, instead of like, why not just...
That's what most customers do. It compounds so much,
dude, just by actually caring
and
just going that extra mile.
It does.
And if you're doing good work... then really the amount of go-backs and the amount of extra customer service you're going to have to do is not going to be that much.
Yeah.
But people are so scared of it, they avoid problems at all costs.
Yeah.
And they avoid phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
So
address what needs to be addressed when it needs to be addressed.
Get it done quick before people start festering on it. Because you don't get 150 5-star reviews by letting stuff fester.
Yep. Yeah.
Somebody calls in, we're on it that day or the next day, and it's taken care of, and we create a happy customer and referrals. Because that's ultimately what people want. They want to get taken care of.
And people that are shopping for something out there are smart. They're not idiots. If they see a guy's got 1,000, you know, reviews and he's a 4.5-star or a 4-star, obviously that guy's doing something different than the guy that has 6 reviews, even though they're all 5-star. Yeah,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
You know?
So you obviously, I mean, you're running a solid business. Your business is growing. Are you still looking for more sales reps, or are you still trying to expand that? I know you just hired like 3 more. How many more are you looking for, or is it just unlimited? Talk a little bit about that, because there are a lot of Utah listeners.
Absolutely.
And there might be some young guys up north or here in St. George, I don't know, that may want to reach out to you for an opportunity to have an income of 10 grand a month or 20 grand a month or whatever it is, right?
So, yeah, we're always looking for good people.
Okay.
And I'm always – one of the guys that I'm training right now was my – he was my waiter at Cliffside.
Okay.
And I've been talking to him for a couple of months, and he was finally in that distressed situation where he's like, okay, I'm ready to go.
Make a change.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So we've got an office here. We got another office in Lehigh.
Okay.
And we're really cranking in St. George right now, but I am looking for some more good people in Lehigh to get that rolling. And then we're going to open another office a little further north up near – like Layton or Farmington or something to cover that northern part of the state.
So if somebody wanted to reach out to you and talk to you about that type of an opportunity, how would they get a hold of you? Would they go to a website, send you an email, or, you know, call you? I mean, what's the, how would they go about getting a hold of
So
JKR?
you can go to jkrwindows.com and submit something. You can also go to the JKR Windows handle on Instagram and DM us.
So is it just JKR Windows, or there's no underscore or anything like that?
JKR Windows.
Okay.
Or so, jkrwindows@gmail.com. Everything is
JKR Windows.
That's what's cool about my initials. I'm the oldest of 4 boys. We all have the same initials, JKR.
Oh, really?
And when I've looked it up on the internet, there's nothing else JKR.
That makes it nice, man.
So
whenever we land a domain name or something that totally lines with our business, then we don't have to do .net or underscores. Yeah. It's such a win.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it's pretty easy to find. It's JKR Windows.
Okay.
If you're interested in something, you know, a lot of times it's going to come from something like this where you're you're in a kind of a distressed situation. You don't know what's next. Maybe this is my next opportunity. So it's not going to hurt to reach out and at least see what we have to offer, see if you might be a good fit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, not only that, you know, if you are in Utah and you're looking to get a quote on new windows and hear a little bit more about how to save money and get that 30 to 40% more efficiency in your home, then they could also reach out to you. So this is kind of a two-part call to action, so to speak, right? To where if you're looking for an opportunity to make more money and go out there and knock doors and you're in Utah, reach out to them.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, if you're looking for an opportunity to save money on a month-to-month basis, reach out to them as well. Not only, again, saving the money, aesthetically, your house will look completely different. The entire front of your house, and it gives you a complete different feel. The whole curb appeal looks different. I've seen
windows are a big deal, man.
I've seen an older house look far less old because they have those new windows and the white outline.
Contrast.
Yeah, exactly. They have the contrast and all that shit. So.
I will say, dude, you are a good ass dude, man.
Yeah.
And you're a great leader. And, dude, I mean, even like you said in the very beginning of the episode, like, my little brother went to work for you, bro. You made such an impact on him. Like, he's still clean to this day. I know he still has his ups and downs and everything, but like, dude, I remember him coming to my house like, dude, Jeff's so good for me, man. Like, I'm just leveling up and, you know, he's pushing me in all the right areas. And so, like, dude, you have made a big difference on his life as well. And so guys that do want to come work for you or want a good leader to work under, like, dude, full stamp of approval here because I've seen it firsthand with my brother, man. So,
well, I mean, you're getting a two for one.
Yeah.
You're getting somebody that can help you kind of reframe your mind in terms of a leader
who's actually done it.
Yeah, right? You know, and being able to help you level up as an individual, not only just financially, because leveling up mentally is just as important.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that you can do one without the other. You really have to kind of start leveling up mentally in order for to show up financially.
Totally.
But no, dude, it was a fire podcast, bro. We appreciate you being
here. Appreciate
on,
you guys
dude.
Having me on.
Yeah, how long was that one, Austin?
We're up to 50 minutes
now. Oh, that's nice. Perfect. Yeah. So we'll go ahead and end it with the review, just like usual. So this review, subject line just says, great podcast, by far my top three favorite podcasts. These guys just keep it real. Family's been in business for 13 years. I just stepped in last year, and these guys have helped me evaluate and see a lot of stuff that was being missed. Along with not being scared to invest. They also get on the phone with you if you have questions, so don't be afraid to reach out. Thanks for the great content, guys. And that was from a Gusman2. So whoever that is, we appreciate the review.
Yeah.
So guys, make sure that when you're getting value out of our podcast, I guarantee you, we just talked about this in the podcast in terms of who you surround yourself with does matter. And so if you got friends or family or whoever it is that does have a negative mindset or a mindset that doesn't fit yours, try to invite them into listening to some new information that can maybe reframe their thoughts or rewire their thoughts so that you don't have to, you know, give them the Heisman
give them
and
the
stiff arm out of your
set life.
Boundaries
with them.
Yeah. And make sure that you turn them on to good information, whether it is Ed Mylett, Andy Frisella, whether it's Grant Cardone, whether it is us. You know, just information is very, very important, and you should protect what goes in your ears.
If you're getting value from it, you should share it anyway,
exactly.
Man. We do it too. The guys we get mentorship
Shit,
from.
We just barely did it.
Yeah.
Did we not talk about Cardone? Did we not just say Ed and you know, these are people that have influence over us in terms of the information.
It's the right thing to do.
Yeah, you know, share our shit, goddammit. That's basically what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks for coming on today, brother.
Absolutely.
Thanks, you guys.
Have a good rest of your guys' day. Thanks.